This episode is brought to you in part by the American Homebrewers Association, who invites you to attend HomebrewCon this June 27th to June 29th in Providence, Rhode Island. It's the biggest homebrew event of the year, held in the smallest state. Learn more and register at homebrewcon.org. That's homebrewcon.org. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, May 9th, 2019. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, we have our very first guest hop sampler. Homebrewer Steve Frank sends us a mostly African selection: African Queen, Southern Aroma, Southern Passion, and Sabro. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows, our DVDs, our brewer's logbooks, and other Basic Brewing gear, including our tie-dye silicone pint and our Brewing Rainbow shirt. And hop on over to the newly designed basicbrewingshop.com for a great new package deal on our DVDs. And we're all mobile ready over there at basicbrewingshop.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook as well. We have a cool Basic Brewing app on iTunes and Amazon.com, and we're found all over the place where fine podcasts are served up. And if you'd do us the favor of rating us on iTunes and maybe leaving a nice comment there, that'll help new listeners to find us, or at least that's what they say. And if you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. And thanks to everybody who's helping out. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. This Friday, I'm planning on posting publicly our Basic Brewing video episode on Schwartz beer. Steve brewed up a very tasty and sessionable black beer with a little bit of smoke added. Not typical for the style to add the smoke, but, you know, it's Steve. We had a great time at Steve's brew shop this past Saturday for a big brew in celebration of National Homebrew Day. We brewed up a no-chill Ozark Amber Ale that Steve plans on dry hopping. Steve also had his Weber grill out to serve us hot dogs while we were brewing. He slapped on a rack and a half of ribs that he smoked with pecan chips. And he improvised a rub for the ribs of yellow mustard, cracked salt, and pepper. I thought it was an odd combination, but of course, since Steve did it, the ribs turned out great. Super delicious, fall apart. They just melt in your mouth, those ribs. Thanks to everybody who came by for a big brew. And we saw a bunch of folks. Yesterday, I went back to Steve's shop to pick up ingredients for my next batch, a no-chill fest beer that I looked on the BJCP guidelines and picked this out. I think it'll be a fun summer beer. I'm still playing with the no-chill method, the no-chill container. I know I'm kind of late to the party to be on that bandwagon, but I'm having fun. I'm having fun not dealing with an immersion chiller. And speaking of having fun, you can now have fun year-round with A43 Loki from our friends and sponsors, Imperial Organic Yeast. That's right, Imperial Loki is now a part of the year-round core strain lineup at Imperial. It's a Voss strain that's comfortable fermenting at a range from 65 degrees Fahrenheit to 100 degrees Fahrenheit, giving you few esters at the low end and lots of fruity citrus esters at the high. And through the end of May, look for A05 Voyager, the seasonal strain. Voyager is originally from England and plays nicely in both malt-forward styles as well as hop-forward styles. Fairly flocculent, good attenuation, and a lovely ester profile that can also be manipulated by temperature. That makes Voyager great for warmer weather brewing. So I've asked Steve to set aside a pouch of Voyager for me, and that pouch will have the highest pitch rate of any liquid yeast producer, 200 billion cells. My stir plate is dusty because I don't make starters anymore for moderate gravity 5-gallon batches. And I just rip the pouch open, pour it in, and a few hours later, that airlock is bubbling. And Imperial has excellent service and a very talented and supportive technical team as well. So you got to love Imperial Organic Yeast. Check them out at your local homebrew shop or at imperialyeast.com. Look for A43 Loki any time of the year, and AO5 Voyager until the end of May. Let's take a look into the mailbag. Andreas from Trollhättan, Sweden, writes, I've been brewing 2.5 gallon brew in a bag, no chill batches, using only a yeast that I harvested from very ripe black currants this summer on my balcony. I'm currently at batch number 16 and having a great time at it, and have started to try and train the yeast to top cropping. I wonder if you might have an answer to a question that I've been thinking about for a while, Andrea says. While designing a Belgian-y recipe and wanting to use 15% sugar, does that mean 15% of the grist weight? For example, 290 grams out of 1,950 grams? Or should it be 15% of the extractable sugars? For example, specific gravity 1073 out of specific gravity 10485, or 12 degrees Plato, which would be 220 grams out of 1980 grams for my batch size. Well, thanks for the note, Andreas. The found yeast that you got from the black currants, that sounds like a lot of fun. I have to say that on the percentage of Belgian-y sugar, Belgian sugar in a Belgian-y beer, I have to say that my experience with Belgian candy sugar is mostly based on just using the 16-ounce or 400-gram bags of the liquid candy syrup that I use. So whatever my grain bill is, I'll add a bag of syrup and call it good. However, I mean, if you use solid candy instead of the liquid, that's a difference, you would think, of the sugars there by weight. If I were to make an assumption, I'd assume that the percentage is based on the weight of the grain rather than the weight of the extractable sugars. If you go by the grain weight rather than the extractable sugars weight, you'd get 25% more sugar. So really, it's not a tremendously dramatic difference. You'll likely get a delicious beer either way. So I don't know. That's my 2 cents, or whatever Swedish currency that you want to convert that into. What do you think out there? Do you measure your sugar percentage according to grain weight or extractable sugar weight? And a side question, if you're using the liquid candy syrup as opposed to the solid stuff, do you make a difference there? Do you figure differently there? I don't think that hard about it. I guess maybe I should. But I'm always happy with my Belgian-y beers. Drop me a line with comments or questions at any time to james@basicbrewing.com. And I appreciate everybody who writes every week. Hey, what are you doing this weekend? I'm heading over to Tulsa Saturday to attend the Tulsa Beer Invitational being held in the parking lot of our friends and sponsors, Desiree and Dave of High Gravity. More than 30 Oklahoma breweries will be pouring rare and one-off beers, and homebrewers will be there pouring delicious stuff as well. VIP tickets will get you in early, and you can vote on your favorites in competition if you're a VIP. I'm hoping to get lots of sound for the podcast while my wife Susan and I are there, and it's always good to see Desiree and Dave and all the fine folks at High Gravity and Pippin's Tap Room. While you're there, pop into High Gravity and check out their great selection of electric brewing gear with the awesome Warthog controllers. Whether you're into single-vessel brew-in-a-bag like me or more traditional 2 or 3-vessel systems, High Gravity has you covered, from 5 gallons to 2 barrels. And High Gravity now sells high-quality Spike brewing gear, too. You know High Gravity takes the pain out of propane with excellent electric brewing systems. Check out all the details about the Tulsa Beer Invitational this Saturday at beerfests.com, and use the promo code EBC75BB on highgravitybrew.com to save $75 off electric brewing gear at family-owned and operated highgravitybrew.com. Okay, Steve and I were very happy to try our first ever guest hop sampler, and we were more excited to try hops that we'd not had a chance to taste. Well, Steve Frank, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Well, thanks for having me, James.
You are the first to submit a guest hop sampler. You got to be happy that you're the first at something.
Yeah, what an honor.
And you, what inspired you to do this selection of hops?
Well, I know that they just became available on a website that wasn't connected with another company that I guess I should not say the name of.
They who shall not be mentioned.
Yeah. So they became available, and I just wanted to try out. I haven't had any local beers that included these hops, so, and I've been wanting to do kind of a hop sampler for some time, and I thought this was a great reason to do it.
And what hops did you pick, and where are they from?
So I picked, they're all South African hops. Except for one. So I picked Southern Aroma, Southern Passion, African Queen, and then I was just going to check out with that, but then I saw Sabro as well, and I saw some notes, the description of it really got me curious, so I thought I might just sneak that one into the cart too.
Yeah, and all of these were hops that I was not familiar with, so we were really excited to give these a shot.
Yeah, that's the same with me. So,
and so how did you approach the hop sampler brewing? Did you pretty much follow my recipe, or did you do anything different?
No, I think I followed your recipe almost to a T. With the 1 pound of Pilsner Light in 3 quarts of water, raise it to a boil, and then kill the heat and add the hops for a 30-minute hop stand.
And you added, I think you said, 3 grams of USO5, like I did.
Yeah, just actually, it was a little bit short of that because I took one packet of SO5, which is 11.5 grams. So I split that into fours, which is about 2.75 grams each, but okay. Still fermented out just fine.
Yeah. And how did you, what were the alpha acid levels of these hops, and how did you handle that?
Oh, well, I took your approach with these, is it HBU? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm trying to retire that phrase. the hop sampler bittering units are...
Yeah. So what I actually did is I went through your old episodes, and I took some of your old numbers from the alpha acids and the quantities that you used for each one, and then I tried to match those with my own hop quantities and alpha acids to make it the same bitterness, close to what you seem to have some success with yours. So I try to replicate that.
Now, do you have you're away from home, so do you have your the numbers of the alpha acid units on each of the hops?
Well, yes, I do. So
oh, okay, good.
I could go through. So I have African Queen, and that's at 17 grams at 10 alpha acid.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Passion, 15 grams at 11.2 alpha acid. Southern Aroma is 28 grams at 5.8 alpha acid. And Sabra was 11 grams at 15.1 alpha acid.
Okay. So the Southern Passion was the one that you kind of used as the standard. I guess you used a whole ounce of that.
Actually, that was Southern Aroma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was about a full ounce, and that's at 5.8 alpha.
Okay, I'm confusing myself. I've got lists here in front of me of having to do with the tastings here, so I was following the wrong cheat sheet.
the one thing I did notice that was pretty. What I did is I took the alpha acid times it by the grams, and then I divided that by the quarts. So divided by 3 quarts. And that actually, I mean, it's just a unit to measure with, and it's all relative. But it turned out that it gave me this relative number as around like 55. And when I looked at Beersmith, it calculated each one of these out at around 52, 53 IBU. So I'm not sure if there's just coincidence, but I did find that the Beersmith actually found, or they said that these IBUs would be very similar within an IBU of one another.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, whether the actual measured IBUs, you know, if we took these beers to the lab and had them tested, you know, whether that would line up or not is you know, another another question. But at least, you know, it's, as we said, you know, a lot of times it's all about, you know, trying to kind of use your own experience in you know, using these measurements to kind of match what you are shooting for. You know, it's not we're not necessarily trying to match a lab number of an IBU. We just want to make beer that tastes good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so so without getting into the well, I want to talk about your perceptions of the beers, you know, in specific after we play, you know, Steve and my tasting. But did the beers turn out pretty much what you were shooting for?
I think so. I thought that it was I was pretty happy with the way that they came out, each one of those. Yeah, I'm not sure. Not sure what else to say without trying to divulge too much.
Oh, okay. All right. But they were drinkable beers, in other words.
Yes. Every one of them were very dry. I enjoyed them very much. So even by themselves. And then I actually started blending them, which was fun too. So I had some fun.
Yeah, that's a way that you could, you know, possibly, you know, formulate some recipes, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then, you know, convert that into, you know, a hopping schedule for a post-boil hopped beer.
Yeah.
It sounds tasty. Well, is there anything that you want to talk about before we get into the tasting with me and Steve?
The only one thing I think I made a note of is that the one thing I did differently is I actually did use a water profile, and I had to, because my water is not that great, so I used reverse osmosis water, and I built it up to be what yellow balanced would be for in the brewing water. It's a water profile that's provided in Martin Brungard, I believe his name is, his brewing water spreadsheet, and it's a there's a different water profiles, like yellow dry, yellow balanced, and yellow full, I believe. So I chose yellow balanced because I thought that would best represent what I was trying to achieve in these beers.
Nice. Now let's go back in time to the office of stevesbrewshop.com, where Steve and I had the chance to sample these beers. Well, Steve Wilkes, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
It's a pleasure to be back, James.
We're here in the business office of stevesbrewshop.com. This is a first. We're tasting a guest hop sampler. How about that?
It's crazy. It's wacky.
Listener and brewer Steve Frank sent these from Maryland. And they are, all four beers are delicious. I'm encouraged that my recipe, anytime I send out a recipe and somebody else makes it, I get nervous because will they like it? Will it turn out good? But these are all four delicious and very drinkable beers.
Yeah, they are. They're very similar. In other words, I know that he tried to equalize the IBUs. Was it a hop stand bittering unit?
Yeah, stop it.
And he did a good job because the bittering in all four of them are very similar. Mm-hmm. So, yay.
Yeah. So three of these are African hops, and one is not sure what the origin of that one is. But maybe we'll talk to Steve about that. But shall we just jump right into the tasting? We'll start tasting beer number one. And what we did was... Steve did colored caps instead of numbered caps, and I went ahead and put numbers on the colors. so the randomly. So the first one is green. And I thought the first one. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Is it? No, that's a four.
Oh.
Well, it's falling apart already. That's a four. That's a four. So the first one was one blue.
Oh, that's right. Blue's in the other room.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. We opened it in the other room because...
Mine aren't out of order, though.
Yeah, Steve said, be careful. These may be overcarbonated. So number one got... Number one got opened in the other room by the sink. But these were not overcarbonated. These were nicely carbonated and nice white puffy heads on all four. So I'm going to take another sip of number one. Number one. And then we can... we can talk about it.
It, you know, none of these hops are very citrusy. They're all kind of a soft tropical fruit to me, and number one is particularly that way. So it's not quite as bubblegummy as like Mosaic. I think of as kind of being like. Juicy fruit, I guess. I didn't really mean bubble gum, but it's not quite as strong that way. It's a very soft quality, and the it reminds me a little bit of tangerine and honeydew melon, perhaps cantaloupe, which is what the watermelon said to the other watermelon when they wanted to go get married. He said, I'm sorry, we cantaloupe. So, dad joke number one.
Yeah, there shall be plenty.
Yeah. They shall not grow old. It's nice. You know, I think one of the things that I noticed in all these beers, I think they're all a little dank, D-A-N-K. Hmm. Not unpleasantly so, but there's kind of a, I don't know how to say this. It's kind of a quietness about their flavor. Hmm. They're just kind of very soft and subdued. And to me, none of them are particularly harsh. I know we're talking about number one, but they're very similar to me. That's all I got.
Yeah, I think you and I might have some actually different opinions in this round.
We might, yeah.
Because we were doing a little crosstalk before we started recording, which we try not to do because we don't want to influence each other. But usually on these things, we're like in lockstep a lot of the time during the tasting. This first one, it's funny. None of these have the typical strong flavors that I associate with like New Zealand hops or like American hops. So there's not like huge grapefruit from the American side, and there's not huge... mango, tropical fruit, you know, like we generally taste with the New Zealand hops. And I'm not sure if they're more, you know, sort of old world, continental, you know, European / British. It's kind of new. And so my palate's taken a little while to calibrate.
Yeah, I agree with that. Shall I read about African Queen?
Well, let me give you the thoughts on number one.
Okay.
Number one, you said I don't get juicy fruit, but at the same time, I was thinking, what is that flavor that I'm tasting? And when you said juicy fruit, I was like, oh, I think it tastes like juicy fruit. I think it tastes like juicy fruit gum.
Well, I do too, but not very strongly. I guess is what I really meant was it's not as powerful. A juicy fruit flavor. It's like one stick of juicy fruit, not two sticks.
I take that back. It's more like fruit stripe gum with the zebra.
Yeah,
you remember the striped gum?
Sure, of course.
It's not juicy fruit. It's fruit stripe gum.
I'm right there with you. I love it. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it tastes like fruit stripe gum. Mm-hmm. Not in an artificial way. But it's nice and fruity in that kind of... candy fruit, nondescript fruit kind of way. So shall we read about, so that was tasting of beer number one. Shall we read about what is hop number one?
African Queen.
Now, when I think of African Queen, I think of Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, no kidding.
So does this have the aroma of sweat and stubble, or is it... with leeches thrown in.
It's Catherine Hepburn. I killed him, I did.
Norman.
Norman. With your bright, shiny eye. Okay.
Simple, Norman. You just bend down and pick them up.
They're strawberries. Oh.
I love Katharine Hepburn.
I do, too.
I have a giant crush on Katharine Hepburn till the end.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially in Bringing a Baby. Remember that?
No.
Oh, well, with Cary Grant.
Philadelphia Story is what I think back to.
Well, they came out about the same time.
Oh, well, there you go.
Okay. African Queen is a Southern African breed, high alpha, daylight neutral hop whose pedigree is a diploid seedling selected from a cross between 91J7/25 and an SA male. Woo! 94US2/118.
Just scan the barcode in this episode.
That's right. I hope I don't have to return this. The aroma profile includes dank, blueberries, stone fruit, black currant, gooseberries, bubblegum, lemongrass, and chilies.
Oh, my.
Works well with all hop-forward beers, including American and Belgian styles. Also works well with subtle blended beers, such as those with coffee, fruit, and spices. Possible similar hops include Mosaic, Simcoe, and Citra.
Hmm. And this information is from ZAHops.com. The first three are from ZAHops.com.
Well, I would say that's what I thought number one tasted like.
Huh.
Pretty much.
You got all that stuff? Dank and chilies and blueberries and stone fruit and all that?
I'm not sure if I get the chilies or not, but everything else kind of, you know, it's just kind of a mishmash of flavors. I think that's one thing I notice about all of these, in a way, is that they don't have any one strong characteristic to me. Nice, though.
Yeah, they're all delicious. And up until recently, these African hops were exclusive to a certain huge homebrew concern that's that's partially owned by another huge brewing huger concern. But now apparently they're more open. You can get them other
you
places.
You get them on the market.
Yeah. So okay. So shall we taste number two?
Number two.
Number two. That's lovely.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a bad joke about preferring number one over number two.
But we won't go there.
We're not going to go there.
It's a family show.
Yeah.
You want me to go first on number two?
Yeah, go first.
Well, I get, again, no descriptor jumps out. It's like, this tastes like watermelon and peaches or whatever. Now I'll taste watermelon and peaches when I taste it. There is a little bit of there's a bit of a darker undertone to there's a bright fruitiness on top.
Yep.
But then there's a darker undertone, maybe kind of like raisins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
So it's not all bright fruit. There's something underneath that's kind of darker. That's still a fruit, but a fruit that's been out in the sun a while.
It's like a film noir.
Back to Home for Bogart.
That's right. It's a black and white hop.
Oh, Mister.
I agree with you. It's it does have kind of a dark stone or a dried fruit character. So, yeah. But I think that both of these are similar. Number one and number two are very similar.
Okay. Yeah, they've been sitting out a while, and we've kind of degassed them a bit and then let them warm up. But also a delicious beer. And all of these are well-balanced.
Yeah, they are.
And very drinkable. So, again, Steve did a good job of brewing them, and no defects that I can taste at all.
No.
So shall we read about random hop number two?
Random hop number two is called Southern Aroma, which reminds me of my time at Fort Polk. You didn't want to get up in the morning because the Paper Mill would be throwing that. Paper Mill and shrimp factories. It's rough. Southern Aroma is a Southern African breed aroma, daylight neutral hop, whose pedigree is a diploid. They used to call me that a lot. Hey, diploid.
What a diploid.
A diploid is a diploid seedling originating from Sots and Hallertauer Middelfrüh.
Oh.
From a Sots and Hallertauer Middelfrüh crossing. The aroma profile includes floral, fields of flowers. So not just a bouquet of flowers.
Oh.
Entire field.
Wow.
It's like a Sting song. fields of flowers, woody, spicy, and fruity.
That's my favorite vaudeville act.
Woody, spicy, and fruity?
Yeah.
They were good. They used to sing Fields of Flowers. They did it as a folk song. A hop with classic noble hop character and a fruity South African terroir backdrop.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Works well with classic European and English styles where traditional noble hops may be used, but also hop-forward beers of American and Belgian origins. Possible similar hops. I'm not going to pronounce this correctly. I say Matoika. Is that good?
Works for me.
Okay. Somebody corrected me one time, but I don't remember. Matoika, Matoika, Boda Box. I don't know.
Well, we haven't heard from Greg down under on that one. He's the one who told me how to pronounce. Now I've forgotten the name.
Raquel.
Only it's Rocco. Not,
Rocco.
It's like Rocco.
It's like Rocky.
Yo, you want to brew some beer?
It's Eye of the Tiger. Okay,
Rock, you gotta brew the beer. You gotta catch that chicken and brew the beer.
Oh, no, it's a penguin.
It's a penguin, yeah. It's Burgess Meredith.
That's right. Okay. Now, that was Southern Aroma.
Southern Aroma.
Okay. Now we're tasting beer
number
three.
Pregnant pause.
Oh, by the way.
It's thundering out.
Ooh.
It's nice.
Hmm. Oh, that may be my favorite so far.
That's really good. One nice thing about all of these hops and all these beers is they're smash beers, so but the hop character is complex.
Yeah.
And that's one thing when I have customers who come in and they want to make a smash beer, and sometimes it's just they just don't want to spend much money. And I completely agree with that. It's like, that's cool. But I think, well, how can you get a beer that's going to have enough complexity? It's going to give you some kind of layers of flavor. And these, so far, the three that we've tasted would all make great smash beers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And it has to do with when you add them. You know, you can increase the hop complexity by adding them at different times. These were all added at the same time, obviously,
sure.
after the boil, or without a boil, really, just with a hop stand. This, to me, number three. Or do you want to go first on number three, the tasting?
I think it's just nice and soft. It's not quite as, to me, it's not quite as juicy, fruity, or fruit stripe gummy as the others were. It's just a nice, soft beer. You know, these are kind of warm. They're changing their character a little bit. Yeah.
To me, this was the most floral. It's kind of the most bright and floral. And it does make me think of a field of flowers.
It has, I was going to say, it almost has a honey-like character to it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Like good. If you had made a honey beer and let it ferment out, it still kind of has that bright, you know, it's not mead, but
yeah. You
can pick up those notes.
Yeah, there's a wildflower, honey kind of character without being sweet or, you know. Yeah, that's a good analogy.
It's like a Joni Mitchell record.
Joni Mitchell 8-track
yeah,
in my car.
Right. Yeah.
What song is that from?
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very bright, and it's flat now because it's been sitting out so long. But it's still very the character is very bright and floral and just nice.
Southern Passion.
Slow down.
It airs at 11 o'clock on TMZ.
Does not describe my high school days.
No, that's right. Nor mine. I'm Southern Passionless. Southern Passion is a South African-bred aroma daylight-neutral hop whose pedigree is a diploid seedling originating from Sots and Hollertauer. Hmm. Didn't we already read that?
Well, Southern Aroma is also Sots and Hollertauer.
Well, yeah. Well, but you know, I suspect that Southern Aroma and Southern Passion have got to be. I mean, they're
related.
Very, yeah. The aroma profile includes passion fruit, which I've never seen the word granadilla, guava, red berries, melon, calendula. Isn't calendula?
That was that bad emperor.
Yeah.
He made his horse a senator.
Yeah. And grapefruit. That was the name of his horse. No, calendula, isn't that the petals of the culinary, I'm serious, the culinary marigold? Isn't that calendula?
That's a new one on me.
Well,
I would
if
be,
I'm right.
If that's correct, I'm very impressed.
I think I'm right, but I'll hear about it if I'm not. Works well with a variety of beer styles, including lightly hop session beers and all hop-forward beers of American and Belgian origin, such as pale ales, IPAs, and saisons. Hmm. Possible similar hops, none.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Unique.
Wow.
Huh. Interesting. Southern Passion.
Southern Passion.
So far we've got African Queen, which has dank blueberries, stone fruit, black currant, gooseberries, bubblegum, lemongrass, and chilies, and then Southern Aroma, which has
floral fields of flowers,
and then Southern Passion, which is unique in all the world, including passion fruit, guava, red berries, melon, calendula, and grapefruit. So that's what we got so far.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know what to make of that.
So now I can make a hat or a brooch or a pterodactyl. Number for tasting beer, number four. Ooh. Did you go first last time? No, it's my turn.
Yeah.
I think beer number four is the odd one out.
I do too.
I think it is the I think it is the one that is the most sort of pungent and dank and just in your face with strong hop character. Mm-hmm. The bitterness seems to be a little more impactful. Yep. These other beers are nice and delicate and kind of complex in their own way, but they're just like, oh, these are very nice. And this one's like, oh, this is more kind of like an American IPA kind of tasting.
Yeah, it's definitely got a bitter note in the back of the tongue, back of the throat. I wouldn't go so far as to call it astringent, but definitely a more powerful hop bitterness quality to it. Mm-hmm. And a little, maybe because that note is so pronounced, but I was going to say it's less complex to me than the others because of that.
But I'm getting like in the middle of the flavor, I'm getting almost like a dark chocolate kind of a thing going on. What do you think about that?
I could buy that. Yeah, I get a little chocolate, a little, you know, dark, kind of a mole almost.
Yeah.
So now that we're talking about this, would be a good hop to use in a mole stout.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Because it really picks up those. Yeah, I definitely agree with you on the chocolate note. And not dark fruit necessarily.
No,
it doesn't
no.
doesn't go to that kind of raisiny place.
No.
Huh. Very interesting. Wow, it's really raining. I can hear the rain.
And we've got one more hop descriptor to go through.
You ready?
This is the number four.
This is Sabro, and it's from the Hop Breeding Company.
Yeah, that's the word is the description comes from.
So Sabro brand HBC 4438 is a relatively new release from the hop breeding company. Sabro is an aroma hop that is notable for its complexity of fruity and citrus flavors. It imparts distinct tangerine, coconut, tropical fruit, and stone fruit aromas with hints of cedar, mint, and cream. Mm. Sabro's pedigree is the result of the unique cross-pollinization of female Neo-Mexicanus hop. Neo-Mexicanus.
Yeah.
I got that right. With a robust brewing performance. Sabro proves to be a strongly expressive hop that translates its flavor incredibly well into beer.
Mm. Coconut and, here comes the rain. Coconut, tropical fruit, stone fruit with hints of cedar, mint, and cream.
It's like Ginger Baker.
Now... would Gordon Ramsay be a ginger baker? No, I don't know.
Well, the old joke is what sucks without cream? Coffee and I know ginger baker and ginger baker and coffee suck without cream. You have to be a musician to get that.
Is that a dirty joke? Can I hear
that? No, it's not dirty.
Okay. No. Now, I'm still tasting number four.
Well.
And it's got some really rich.
It's much richer beer, yeah.
Characteristics that are different from the other three, in my opinion.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and so I'm kind of ready to pick.
So I'll give you the piece of paper. I've already you had to step out for a second a couple minutes ago, and I already made my predictions, which I've written on a post-it note in front of me here.
Well, the only one that I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I think is I think that number four is number four, Sabro.
Yeah.
That's it's so different from the other three that I think it's the odd man out.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to say that the first one, blue, is Southern Passion. Because it had, you know, we said fruit stripe gum,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, we were talking about berries and grapefruit, although I didn't get a lot of grapefruit. Passion fruit, guava, you know, those are all kind of fruity flavors,
yep.
you know, in there.
Wow. Boy, I just don't know. I have to say that all three of these are so similar to me. I'm going to go with... I'm just to be contrary, I'm going to go with African Queen as number one.
Okay.
Because when I first tasted them, that's what I thought it was. Because I got more of that dank character out of this one.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be interesting.
Write that down.
Okay. So I'm picking this as number one.
All right. Now, number two, I have as African Queen because I got there was a that dark fruit character that I... you know, associated maybe with currant and maybe chilies, although number four had a chili thing going on, but it was so different. So I just said number two was African Queen. Number three I thought was Southern Aroma because of the floral stuff. I'm most confident about number four and number three. I thought number one was Southern Passion, number two was African Queen, number three was Southern Aroma, and number four was the Sabro. And you said...
I said number one was African Queen. Oh, Jesus. I've got them, like, directly in order.
Well, maybe that happened.
I think that's what I said. I've got number one is African Queen, number two is Southern Aroma, number three is Southern Passion, and number four is Sabro. That's what I thought.
There you go. Well, we actually have a sealed envelope here that is...
Wagnall's porch?
Yes. Sealed envelope that has been sitting on Funkin' Wagnall's porch, sealed in a mayonnaise jar since this past Wednesday. And I'm holding it to my head. The answer is rub-a-dub-dub.
Rub-a-dub. What is rub-a-dub-dub?
What does a masseuse do to your dub-dub?
Rub-a-dub-dub. Jesus, I've turned into Ed McMahon. Yeah, he went on a steak and whiskey diet for a while.
Like on purpose?
Yeah, he did. It was before the days of, you know, all this keto and Atkins and stuff. He just said, I just eat a steak and drink whiskey. He lost like 50 pounds.
Wow. Do you want me to do another one of these?
Sure.
Another Karnak joke?
Why not?
While you're opening that?
Okay.
Hickory dickory dock.
What is a hickory dickory dock? I don't know.
Who do you go to when you have a pain in your hickory dickory?
Okay.
Your hickory dickory dock.
Hickory dickory dock.
And the answer is...
Oh, Lord.
Are we all wrong?
Well, a little bit. Number three
Sabro. Oh, no. That's the one that the floral one.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Wrong.
Wow. Number one is African Queen.
African Queen, wrong.
I got that right.
Oh, I got it wrong. I got that right. Southern Passion, okay.
Let's see, White, which we call number
two,
is Southern Aroma.
Yeah.
I got that right.
Oh, my gosh.
Number three, number three is Southern Passion. That's green.
Wow. I managed to get them all wrong.
I got two right, and I flipped the Southern Passion and the Sabro.
Wow.
And that really surprises me. I'm really surprised at that because I was dead sure about
Sabro. Me too. The green was Southern Passion?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Huh. And what was the one that supposedly had the coconut? Was the Sabro, that's the red, that was number three. I didn't get any coconut or cream from number three.
I didn't get that at all. I thought that one, two, and three were very close cousins, and number four was the odd man out. That's really surprising to me.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. Well, there you go. It's a good thing I don't make a living at this.
Well, you got better than me. But the important thing is that we learned something, and when we had fun.
We did. And, you know, all four of these are nice. I mean, I would certainly make a beer with any of these.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else to say about them. They're nice. Maybe my favorite was number... Actually, I think my favorite... Which was the one that we thought was Fields of Gold?
Number three.
Yeah, number three.
Was the Sabro.
My favorite. Yeah.
The Sabro.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Huh.
Wow.
And what was your second favorite?
Maybe number two was my... So Southern Aroma. Is that right? Yeah. Southern Aroma would be my second favorite. And then...
I guess my second favorite would be the Southern Passion, just because it was so... intense, and there's so much going on.
Now, see, I didn't care for it as much.
A little too much?
Yeah. For the style of beer. But, like I said, if you had put that same hop into a dark beer, I could really taste that, those flavors in a stout or a quad.
Oh,
Belgian quad.
Yeah,
then sure. I would be like, "Oh, I'm all over this."
Huh.
But in this really simple, just Pilsner beer, it just, you know, it wasn't that it didn't taste good, but it wasn't my favorite.
Out of balance.
Yeah, for me.
Huh. Well, there you go. Oh, we didn't talk about your specials for May.
Oh, that's right. so I have no joke, or so many I can't say them all. So we're gonna put our Bob's Your Uncle English ESB on sale.
Oh.
25% off.
There you go.
You can get it in all grain or extract. I can even write in partial mash. I don't think I have it in partial mash at the moment, but definitely all grain or extract. It's a great ESB and just, you know, kind of a little bit malty, you know, kind of think of, it's a little bit like a Bass Ale, but not quite as sharp in the hops. A little bit softer in the hop profile. Otherwise, if you like British bitters, you'll like this beer.
Sounds like a good summertime, warmer weather drinking.
Yep, we're going to have it Saturday at our Big Brew Day.
Oh, that's right. This will be in the past.
Yeah, it'll be in the past. But yeah.
Did we have fun?
Yeah, we had fun. We're still recovering.
All right, and you can find that special deal at stevesbrewshop.com.
.com.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, James.
So, Steve, what did you think? How did we do?
I think you guys, well, James, you did about as good as I did.
So you struck out as well.
Yeah, I did. I only tested the African hops, and I wish I threw in the Sabro in the mix, but the Sabro actually did stick out to me. I did get that creaminess that I was, maybe I was looking for it a little bit more because I got to smell the hops before, and that might have helped me a little bit. But what didn't help me is that actually my girlfriend, she really liked that beer the best, so she got to take all those samples.
So the relationship conquers science.
Well, it did today. So,
So Steve and I, we thought that the and I'm making sure I get the list here right, the key right, the Southern Passion was the one that stood out for us as being kind of, at least for me, for more different from the rest. But they all seemed, or at least the first three to me seemed fairly similar, although as they warmed up and as the carbonation came out, you know, there were differences that came out. Were your perceptions, did they kind of line up to the adjectives that we were using?
I feel like sometimes they did, but sometimes I think it was just I kind of would read these and I would pick these up out of the beer when they might not be there, and it was very difficult. I did think that they were quite similar, and then I was certain on one of them, and I can't remember at the time. I think it was the African Queen, because I was looking for a little bit more of a dankness, and I think maybe the Southern Passion gave a little bit of a unique character that I mixed. I think that was the one I mixed up.
Mm. Yeah, it's tough. It really is hard. And yeah. And especially if you drink them, if you go too fast, you know, and the beers are still carbonated fully and still cold, you know, a lot of those differences between the hops, or at least the ones that we perceived, you know, are masked. So, you know, patience is a virtue in these things.
Yeah, and I wish I had. I should have had some like crackers or something between to try and cleanse the palate a little bit. But yeah, I felt like the more I drank of them, the more difficult it became to figure out the differences.
And the less you cared, maybe.
Yeah, they all tasted good. So, but yeah, that was the biggest reason why I did this is because I struggle with trying to identify the hop flavors and the nuances of different hops. So, what I came out of this was that I definitely still need some more work.
Well, I think we all do. I mean, you know, as you can tell from the results of these things, at least in comparison to the published descriptions of some of these hops, you know, sometimes we're pretty close and other times it's like, you know, way off. But, you know, practice is good, especially in something like this, you know, when it's fun. It's fun to do.
Yeah, and that's what, practice is fun for this. I think, though, I think my mind also, for each one of these hops that I picked out one descriptor and I just looked for it. So African Queen said it was close to Mosaic, and I always got that like bubblegum kind of flavor out of Mosaic, and I was really looking for that. And you know, with Southern Aroma, that yeah, the fields of flower. That's what my mind was stuck to, was this really floral taste. And whenever I picked that up in a beer, in either one of these samples, that's kind of what I couldn't. You know, I couldn't look past. So maybe once I thought I got one of these descriptors, I kind of went with it, and it turns out that maybe that wasn't what I was tasting after all.
But were you able to pick out a favorite that you would want to brew with again, or was it useful in that regard?
I think I liked them all, and for different reasons. I think going into this, in my mind, I wanted to mix Southern aroma. Wait, no, I'm getting mixed up. Southern Passion and African Queen to make an IPA.
Mm.
And I wanted to use Southern aroma to do like a Pilsner out of and see what the resulting beer would be.
Oh, nice.
So that was what I was going into. And I think after I tasted all these and I blended some and I got to taste the sample of Southern aroma by itself, I feel pretty confident in making a large scale, either 5 or 10 gallons of this, and it turning out pretty good.
So bottom line, keeping in mind the technique in brewing these beers, and then the experience of tasting the beers afterwards, is the hop sampler process worth doing?
Oh, absolutely.
This is like an infomercial all of a sudden. I'm not getting any money from this. I don't get royalties from other people doing hop samplers. It's just my ego on the line.
I think so. I think the one thing I think, and maybe I would have to try a few more of these, which I am planning on doing. I think that maybe I could scale up the hops a little bit, whether that be maybe more for a shorter time, or maybe I'll wait until it cools down to 180 and hop them up heavier.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like sometimes I get too mixed flavors from what comes through is like just the malt flavor, especially for these that are very delicate. And I have a hard time distinguishing. So maybe I just need a little bit of more of a kick in the face from the hops for me to really pick them out.
Well, feel free to experiment and tailor it to your expectations. And if you come out with something that works better than my method, please let us know.
Yeah, I think that's what I plan on doing a few more. And I was going to do I really wanted to do noble hops, do some Hallertauer Mittelfrau,
mm-hmm.
and Tettnanger, I believe. And I'm going to Zots, however you want to say it.
That's up to debate.
So I would like to try all three of those. That was my next one planned, but I think those will be too similar, so maybe I'm going to try and pick different ends of the spectrum so I can actually guess them correctly.
Put your finger on the scale a little bit.
Yeah,
well, you may be surprised. It may be harder than you expect.
I know. This one I was very surprised about how difficult it truly was. I listened to your podcast and I'm like, well, those guys, how are you mixing those up? And I had to put my pride aside and suck it up to say and know that I got all of them wrong. So, but at least I wasn't the only one.
That's right. Misery loves company. Well, Steve, this has been fun. Thanks so much for sending the beers. And we didn't mention that you had to send them twice because a certain shipper damaged the first time you sent them. So I appreciate your sticking with us.
Yeah, no problem. It was a pleasure to send it to you guys, and I'm glad you guys enjoyed them.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, James.
Thanks again to Steve Frank for sending those beers and to Steve Wilkes for helping me sample. Those were some tasty beers, and I'm glad that Steve Frank is having fun with the hop sampler concept. We certainly are. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to James at basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form at basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check all that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. And check out our newly designed shop at basicbrewingshop.com. It's all mobile ready and everything.
That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website's provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.